إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيقول الله جل وعلا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. My dear brothers and sisters, as Allah the Almighty tells us, says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, which is Allah addressing all of us, for we're all believers in Allah. He says, O you who believe, O Muslims, O believers, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that protect yourselves and place a barrier between yourselves and your families from the hellfire. So over here, my dear brothers and sisters, when Allah Ta'ala is commanding us, a number of the scholars of the past, you find Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah Ta'ala anhu, علموا أهليكم الخير. Like he says, teach your family good. Teach your family good. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, يأمرهم وينهاهم. They tell them to do the right things. They command them, instruct them, do this, don't do this. And as Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say, he says that you make sure you take care of your child, for you are responsible for him or her. You're responsible. A person's responsible. My dear brothers and sisters, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, when He tells us about these children, when they see their parents, they reach an old age, what do they make? What dua do they make? رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا, O my Lord, have mercy upon both of them, my mother and my father. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, like they raised me. Raised me. That means they took time out. رَبَّيَانِ, so it's have mercy upon them. Why? Because they took care of me. They didn't forget me. They didn't neglect me. They took care of me when I was young. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, he says, وَأَكْثَرُ الْأَوْلَادِ إِنَّمَا جَاءَ فَسَادُهُمْ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْآبَاءِ. He says, the majority of young children, the sole purpose or the main reason why they corrupt, why they turn out to be bad, is because of their fathers neglected them. And al-ab, as in the asl, when is respected, is the father. So the father, the walid, not the walid, not the mother, although obviously she has a big role too, but the father. So then after he continues, he says that because they neglected them when they were young, they didn't teach them fara'id of the religion, the obligations, the prayers, the to connect to the Quran, etc., etc. Says, وَأَهْمَلُوهُمْ صِغَارًا فَلَمْ يَنْتَفِعُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَنْفَعُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ كِبَارًا. He says that they neglected them when they were young, so when they grew old, they couldn't help themselves, nor could they benefit their fathers at an old age. As in, when they became old, they couldn't help their fathers as well. So what is that teaching us, brothers and sisters? It's teaching us that first and foremost, this is a wake-up call for all of us, including myself. Because I'm a father myself, brothers and sisters, and you have a lot of young brothers and sisters who are here today, as well as many fathers, grandfathers, uncles, older cousins, neighbors who have young children as their neighbors, etc. That we say, first and foremost, my sisters, this is the 6 weeks holidays have begun for young children, for primary school children, for secondary school children, for many people in universities too. So it's our chance to build something special when we enter into the grave. When we enter into the grave. So I just want to spend a bit of time in this khutbah, not to lecture you, brothers and sisters, but rather to remind myself, first and foremost, and to remind my dear brothers and sisters, for Muslims should love for their brothers and sisters what they love for themselves. So this is a reminder for myself, first and foremost, brothers and sisters, before all of you guys, before all of the brothers and sisters here. So we say, what do we advise them? The first thing is to make dua. As Allah tells us in the Quran, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, like, be good to me, meaning in terms of my children, like, take care of them, fix them up for me. It's like you're making dua for Allah to mend and fix up your children. Because why is that, my dear sisters? Because, like, there was one sister some time ago, a da'iyah, he had a
the daughter.
So he found out that she started to get up to no good. She was in her teens, she started to get up to no good. So the father contacted another da'iya. And he said that, you know, I've been working on my daughter. I send her to the maktab, she's memorizing the Quran, she's almost completed. She goes with her mom to the masjid regularly, she does this. I said, we don't have no television at home, I've tried my utmost best to take care of her upbringing. But yet this happened. So the sheikh, the one who he called, said that, have you made dua for her? Have you been making dua for her? So yeah, I've tried everything. I've carried out all of the means. So what did the sheikh say? The sheikh said to the other one, said, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَى فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ اجْتِهَادُ. And that's the reality, my sisters. If you don't have aid, divine aid from Allah, the first thing that's going to let you down is your own hard work. The first thing that's going to let you down and, like, you know, assault you is your own hard work. Like Allah says in the Quran, what did He say? وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. That same statement that we just quoted. So a person makes that dua. That's the first thing. Second thing is, my sisters, after the dua, I'm mentioning them in order, and I'm trying to keep it, you know, only a few points, inshallah, so one can remember them. The first one is dua. What's the second one? Many people during the summer holidays, what they tend to do is they send their children to a summer camp, to maybe a maktab, a madrasa, and the sheikh or the murabbi or the muallim or whoever it is, the ustad, he's the one who takes care of the children. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, my sisters. But the first thing is, you need to ensure that this person, this brother or sister who you have now appointed as your representative to take care of your child, this person is not doing it just purely for money. No harm giving them money, no harm giving them money, that's fine. But that's not their sole reason. Remember this, this is very important. If their main reason is money, your child's gonna come back probably worse than you sent him. The same level, maybe worse than you said. I remember a lot of the time, my sisters, when we used to employ teachers to teach children Quran, the first thing I had to interview many of them, the first thing I asked them is, why are you here for, my friend? Why are you here for? Why are you applying for this job? No doubt they're going to get money, that's a given. They're going to get money, my sisters. They have to survive. We have to give them some risk. And it's from Allah at the end of the day for them to survive. Because it's why are you here? Is the sole reason just money? The sole reason, this isn't the best thing for you. Better you do something else that you can get money. Better for you to do something else where you can get money. But if this is something secondary, something tertiary, then alhamdulillah, then that's fine. That's one important point. Like, for example, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, my dear sisters. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. His father was in charge of Egypt. His father sent him, Abdul Malik, sent him to Medina. So when he entered into Medina, Umar was a young man. So Umar was from a rich family. His father is the governor of Egypt, the guy who's in charge of Egypt. So he has a person who's fixing his hair, a person who's just grooming his hair. One person, that's all their role is, that's their job. So one day he missed the jama'ah, that's it, the jama'ah in the masjid, the congregational prayer. So his murabbi, by the name of Salih ibn Kaysan, that was his murabbi's name, from the tabi'een, the second generation of the Muslims, he said, why are you late for? He said that the person who was grooming my hair, they delayed me. So he said, that's it. So he kept silent, he didn't beat him, didn't do anything like what most people would do. Tell him off, what did he do? He sent a letter from Medina. This was in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ city, all the way to Egypt, which takes, my dear sisters, it takes about 2 months to get there, especially if you're going by four. 2 months there, your son, to his father, says, your son Umar, he missed one prayer in jama'ah. 2 months there, 2 months back. Umar, his father, sent a man all the way to Medina. When he reached Medina, he said, the first thing you do, take his hair off, shave it off. If this is preventing him from jama'ah, it's best, take it off. So he's excited, a person sent from his father, he's thinking maybe it's a hadiyah, maybe there's a gift or something like that. First thing he done, took off his hair, went straight back, my sisters. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was taught a lesson that missing one prayer in jama'ah is worth traveling 8 months, 2 months each way. Imagine that, 2 months.
Could have just been something small. But some of these lessons, these are priceless, and sisters, because after that, this man became one of the greatest individuals of all times. The Mujaddid, as Imam Ahmad mentions, is the Mujaddid of the first century. Mujaddid means a revival of the religion. Person who brings back a lot of the religion, a lot of things that have been forgotten and neglected. This man, Allah places him to bring them back, to revive it. Umar, this is how he started off as a young person. So if you're going to find someone who's solid, person who loves for your son or your daughter, as if he was his own son or his own daughter, then alhamdulillah, that's brilliant. But if you're going to find a person who's just giving them money for no reason, you're better off with the sisters, not giving them, just let them play at home. Let them play at home with your sisters. So the first thing is, if you're going to send them, no problem, but find the right person. Don't be giving them to anyone, my dear sisters. It's an amanah. This is a trust on yourself. Don't be entrusting them with anyone and everyone. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, and you'll find, subhanAllah, that the kibab from the a'immah, as in the most senior scholars of the past, a lot of them, or you could say many of them, they were what? Yateen. They were orphans. Their father had passed away. Most of them didn't know the like the Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala didn't know his father. Imam Ahmad didn't know his father. Imam al-Bukhari didn't know his father. Ibn Hajar. You can go on and on, my sisters. Many of these people didn't know their father. So what was the secret behind the success? Secret was, when you know that you can't depend upon anyone else, you can't depend upon the muallim in the madrasa, in the class, in his school, and you know that first of all, you can only depend upon Allah, and secondly, after that, you have to work hard alone. As in, you have to depend after Allah upon yourself. You get results, my sisters. When you depend upon others in respect to your children, it's a gamble. You may get results, but many a time you won't get no results, my sisters. So this is very important for all of us who have been neglecting our children all of these years. We haven't really given them time for us to now start from now, inshallah, start from now. And this is to all of the brothers and sisters in the masjid right now. For some of you guys, some of the brothers and sisters are fathers. Some may have not got married yet. So in that case, I'm sure they have younger siblings, they will have young cousins, but they have some neighbors. Some of us may be grandfathers, some may be uncles, or aunts. The point is, my dear sisters, everyone has some young children that they know. Even if it's just in this masjid, you look at a few people in this masjid, and you say, okay, I don't have a child, let me work on one of the children too. I know this brother, I'm his friend, let me see if he's got children, let me try and help him. Let me try and help him. But even if it's 5 minutes a day, my dear sisters, something small, don't be little. Even if it's something like 5 minutes a day, it's something. The most beloved actions to Allah are the ones that are consistent, regular, wa in qalla. Even if they're small, even if they seem insignificant in the sight of Allah, they're mighty. So the first thing, my sisters, dua. Secondly, if you're going to send them, send them. If you're not, I would highly encourage you work on them yourself, daily, 5 minutes, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes every day. Third thing, my sisters, we look at the Quran, and we look at the ta'amul, and we look at the conduct and the behavior and the communication between fathers and their children, between mothers and their children, meaning between parents and their children. One of the greatest examples we have is Yaqub alayhi salam and his son Yusuf. That Yusuf, my dear sisters, imagine your son or your daughter had a dream, a gharib dream, a very strange dream. Like in this case, Yaqub, his son Yusuf, he's saying, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ. He's saying he's seen in his dream, he's seen 11 stars, a sun and a moon, all prostrating to him. Also, someone's child told him something like that, okay. That would probably be the best reaction. Not interested at all. I think there's no communication. The fact that he could even ask his father, because a lot of the time, as you know, my dear sisters, children, they're more closer to their mothers. They don't mind opening to their mothers. As for the father, 9 out of 10, they're not too close to the father. They hide half of the stuff in their life from their fathers, because they feel that they can't connect with the father. So the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam's speaking to his father, not to his mother, first of all, and secondly, that he's able to share whatever he wants. The fact that he's sharing the dream like that, that's proof, my sisters, that he's able, he's built a communication that he can ask whatever he wants, my sisters. So this is the second point, to start communicating, speaking to your father, speaking to your son, speaking to your daughter, mothers and father. Put your phone away, if you have a phone, put everything away. Make sure that you've dedicated this time purely for them, saying, tell them, start speaking to them. How was school? What did you enjoy? Just make conversation. Make conversation, my sisters. Why is this important? A person may say that, what's the big deal? Why do we need to make... Why is that, my sisters? Because if you don't make conversation, this is like the first step in order to get somewhere with your children. They can't... When things go wrong, you're not the person they're going to turn to. They're going to turn to maybe criminals, no good people, because they feel they can't connect with you. So it doesn't matter if you were raised in a different country, it's no problem. That's what Allah decreed. The key is that you start off with something. Secondly, brothers and sisters, you ensure that you, although they might be 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old, doesn't matter. This is young ages, but they do have an idea of what you're saying to them. Try to start to consult them. Okay, these are the holidays. What should we do? Where would you like to go? I've bought these sweets, I've bought whatever. What color would you like? So to consult them, sisters. Even the smallest of things. Like you find Ibrahim alayhi salam consulting his son Ismail in something great, let alone something small. Something great, something that he has to do. He has to do as a prophet. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had a dream that he has to slaughter his son Ismail, did he say? إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I saw in my sleep that I'm slaughtering you. What's your take on it? What do you think we should do? He's consulting him and his sisters. So when you do that, you slowly develop something inside them. You slowly develop, as in they feel that they have some qeema. They feel they have some value. When you speak to children, children and sisters, specifically the children of our times, number one, this is the next generation. This is the future of this ummah. This is the future of this ummah. Secondly, when you speak to even a four-year-old, a three-year-old, you'll be surprised. They'll blow you away with the intellect. They're so smart, walillah alhamd, that Allah has blessed them with such an like impeccable type of memory and understanding. Don't underestimate them, brothers and sisters. Don't underestimate. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So my dear brothers and sisters, along with speaking to them, consulting them, I just want to say three things that I would highly encourage all of the brothers and sisters, if they can spend some time in these 3 years, this is more religious side now, with children, whoever they are, your neighbor's children, your cousins, it doesn't make a difference. If you could do this, it would be something amazing. The first one, brothers and sisters, and I personally feel this is by far the most important one, is ask them, many children, when we speak to them, and I've done this with my own children, you ask them, why are you Muslim? Most children will tell you, they say, because my parents are Muslim. So the first thing that you can do with your children, specifically in the time and the age that we're living in, is to make them convinced about Islam. So that when they enter into secondary school, or when someone throws a question at them, which rattles their cage, it shakes their world, fully prepped. Why are you Muslim? They tell you. They've got an answer ready. You know exactly why they're Muslim. Most people, they focus on just the Quran and memorization. And I was one of those, my sisters, in terms of how my parents raised me as well. And they done, I don't blame them at all, because they done whatever they knew. The best that they knew, they shared it with me, which, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful for. But I'm saying, my sisters, right now, the first thing you can do is make your child convinced about Islam. They know why they are Muslims. That's the first thing. If you don't know how to answer that question, that's something for yourself as well, to work on yourself then. First and foremost, before you try and help others, that's the first one. So they're convinced about Islam. That's the first thing. That is by far, my sisters, the most valuable thing you can give them. Islam, that they're convinced about Islam. They don't just, not just, I'm a Muslim because my parents, because then, okay, so if your parents were a different religion, you'd be a different religion. So that's what they're basically saying. That's the answer to that question. The second one, my sisters, to the salah. For this is by far, my dear sisters, you want to build a person's iman,
Salah is by far the most important thing to build one's iman.
وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. What is he referring to over here?
صَلَاتَكُمْ.
The fact that he actually uses iman instead of salah and sisters shows the importance of the connection between the two. It's your lifeline. This is your lifeline. It's like you don't have no oxygen, you're not going to breathe. Likewise, you don't have no salah,
I feel depressed. You don't know why. I feel depressed. I feel down.
Why?
Because the salah. There's a problem in the salah. There's a problem in the salah. So to teach them the prayer. And you know, you find some of the people of the past, you read some of the stories like 1,000 years ago, they see young children, a mu'adhin, for example, of a message. It's not his own children. Maybe he doesn't even have children. It's a grandfather. His children have grown up and they've moved away. Looks at young children in the masjid, so just running around, gets nuts. In our times you might have sweets or something similar to that. Nuts was what they would use. If you guys pray some salam, and he give you some nuts. Give them some nuts. If you pray some more, we'll give you some more. So he said, so then after that, a person would ask him, it cost like maybe £5 in our times. He said, why'd you keep doing that? He said, if it means £5. If £5 add up or equal to all of these young children loving the prayer, I think it's a bargain. Something beautiful. Likewise, you find Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the scholars of the past, he said, my father would give me a dirham every time I memorize a hadith. Likewise, a person memorizes an ayah, for example, give him something small. So he said that I would memorize a hadith, he gives me a dirham. Dirham's like a silver coin. Memorize another one, I get a second one. Third one, I get a third. He said, afterwards, I didn't need any money anymore. He doesn't need to give me any money anymore. But now, I love memorization of hadith. Likewise with the Quran. And hadith, brothers and sisters, was after the Quran with the people of the past. As in, you memorize the Quran first, then you memorize whatever you want to memorize, whether it's hadith or other than that, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi. So what we're saying, brothers and sisters, these three things, the first one, for them to understand why they're Muslims. Why are you a Muslim? And they have an answer ready. And they're convinced. You've had a discussion with them. Don't just get them to memorize things. That's not good enough. Memorizing is not good enough, brothers and sisters. Number two, the salah. They know how to pray. Even Surah Al-Fatiha. At least start off with the basics. Start off with the basics. And tell them the benefits. And the third one is the Quran. If you can just work on those three, brothers and sisters, you get very, very far. To finish off, inshaAllah ta'ala, our job, brothers and sisters, as human beings, as fathers, as mothers, as uncles, as older cousins, as neighbors, as grandfathers, grandmothers, is to do what we can, to try our best. Nothing more than that. Nothing more. Nuh alayhi salam tried his best, and his son was still an unbeliever. It's not in your heart. He's from the greatest five prophets. It's from the greatest five prophets. But what you do is you try your best. That is what you can do. As for hidayah, guidance, that's not in your hands. And subhanAllah, I came across a very interesting incident. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah shared in Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala, where he shared Fudayl ibn Iyad from the scholars of the past, and his son Ali. Ali became one of the greatest of his time, and he passed away very young. His son Ali. Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to struggle with his son at the beginning, when he was young. So he said, Allahumma, إني اجتهدت أن أؤدب عليا فلم أقدر على تأديبه فأدبه أنت لي. Says that, oh Allah, I really tried hard to discipline and nurture my son Ali. I was unable to. So you nurture him for me. You nurture, and that's the key, my sisters. You try your best. You keep making dua. You keep making dua. And you're on a gold mine. I'm telling you, literally, my sisters. The young generation, these young people, these people are, you can't really give a price for these young people. And you can't really put a price in respect to them. It's like a gold mine. Just one of them, imagine you're one of the young brothers and sisters, just one of them, you work on, and then after you passed away, they're doing so much khair. So much khair. You're in your grave, good deeds are still returning. Still coming to you. Maybe 1 century, 2 centuries, 3 centuries. Allahu A'lam, how long? Why? Because of one person that maybe for 2 or 3 weeks that you worked on during these 6 weeks holidays. And it could be that Allah Ta'ala really blessed you because he saw that you were genuine and your intention was sincere. And he blessed you in it. So for centuries after your death, the reward still continue, my sisters. The reward is still continuing. The last final point that I want to finish off with is that as parents, and even the young brothers and sisters who might be older brothers and older sisters, remember that children, whether they realize it or not, meaning if it was subconsciously or it wasn't, every little thing you do when you lie, it's like a camera, it's like a video camera. They record everything that you do. So if you try your best and you die in the process, but you was righteous, you worked hard, Allah will take care of the rest of the sisters. You take care of us in terms of wealth, you take care in terms of their well-being, and it's proven in the Quran. Like you find, for example, two young men, their father passed away, their mother wasn't even alive as well, and their father left treasure underneath a wall, and he built a wall on top of it, and Allah Jalla sent Khadr alayhi salam from one side to the other side of the globe. Why? Purely to protect the money that their father left for them. And when Musa alayhi salam asked Khadr, he said, why did you do that for? He said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Because their father was righteous. Their father was righteous. So from the benefits of a person being righteous, is that their children benefit from it. And sometimes for generations. Sometimes for generations. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد